Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Dr. Fauci says life won't return to normal until deep into 2021. By Tim Balk from the New York Daily News. Buckle up for a long ride ahead. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the government's top infectious disease expert, said Friday that normal times won't replace America's long coronavirus nightmare until deep into 2021, explaining that it will take months to widely administer a vaccine. The 79-year-old immunologist said he continues to expect a vaccine to be available by the beginning of 2021. But by the time you mobilize the distribution of the vaccinations and you get the majority or more of the population vaccinated and protected, that's likely not going to happen until the mid or end of 2021. If you're talking about getting back to a degree of normality, which resembles where we were prior to COVID, it's going to be well into 2021, maybe even towards the end of 2021. He also said the path indoors for activities like eating out could prove treacherous as the weather cools. Being indoors absolutely increases the risk. I am concerned when I see things starting indoors, and that becomes more compelling when you move into fall and winter. On Wednesday, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo gave the green light for New York City restaurants to serve patients inside starting on September 30 with limitations. Last week, amid concerns that a vaccine will be rushed out in the interest of politics and not medicine, 9 drug manufacturers issued a joint statement promising not to cut corners. President Donald Trump has suggested repeatedly that a vaccine could be available before Election Day, November 3rd. COVID-19 has sickened millions of people in the U.S., and the official national death toll has climbed over 190,000.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, September 13th, 2020. Section A. ECISD Hiring Takes Many Angles by Ruth Campbell. Taking a multi-pronged approach, Ector County ISD has reduced its teacher vacancy rate dramatically from last year. Robin Fawcett, Human Capital Director for Secondary Staff, has 22 openings, and Human Capital Director for Elementary, Sandra Banda, has 86 openings. ECISD now has Human Capital, Human Resources, and Talent Development departments. Fawcett said it's not just one thing that has helped fill the openings, and it has taken a number of years. Banda noted that to be a bilingual teacher, you have to be certified in early childhood through sixth grade, and you have to take a bilingual supplemental language proficiency test in Spanish. Banda said 36 of those 86 vacancies are bilingual spots. Last year, there were 350 teaching openings. We don't have a large number of bilingual candidates who are applying, so that's part of the issue. In elementary, we have 1,110 teachers, so to have 86 vacancies, it's a really good number, Banda said. Grow your own programs, pay raises, recruitment and retention efforts, and having good principals at schools has helped the district add to its numbers, officials said. In a recent interview, Superintendent Scott Murray said, "Teachers like to work for great principals. When you have great leaders in place at the campus level, that attracts and retains teachers," Murray said. The human resource team also has made an effort to recruit from across the state, nation, and even the world. We have international teachers who come here as well. Our human resource team has done a good job of bringing people here, and then certainly we're benefiting by the current economy. Our community has one of, if not the highest, unemployment rates. We know that we have received some people from the gas and oil industry, and they have left that profession to enter the teaching profession or re-enter the teaching profession because they left us at one point. So a variety of factors have contributed to our current situation. Last year, as you'll remember, we started with 350 vacancies, and this year we have fewer than 120, which in a typical school district, 120 would be shock and awe. But for us, that's a huge difference between the vacancies we had this year and last year. Of course, the goal is to have zero. We'll get there. I'm very pleased with the number of vacancies that we have, Murray said. Along with the oil field, people may have come from a restaurant that was shut down or another business. And we've benefited because we have had vacancies. Our maintenance folks, our cafeteria workers, a variety of different custodial positions, etc., are available, and people have taken advantage of those opportunities, Murray added. He said the hope is that ECISD will be able to keep those people. Again, if you work for a good leader and a good environment, then you're much more willing to stay. Our principals and our directors and others who are leading these teams of individuals, as long as those people are effective and create a healthy culture, the likelihood that they will retain these quality employees is greater, Murray said. I also commend our board. One of the things that we were able to do both this year and last year was to change the compensation for teachers as well as our hourly employees. In fact, this year, hourly employees got a larger percentage of the raise than teachers. That helps too. People have to make a living wage, and so the fact that our board was able to invest more deeply in compensation system made a difference too, he added. ECISD planned to bring in more international teachers this year, but there were some travel-related issues due to COVID-19 and new visa requirements. In some cases, they cannot leave their country because of COVID, and if they do re-enter, they have to quarantine themselves for a certain period of time before they're able to start. In fact, we have some international teachers today who are in quarantine because they recently arrived in the country, so it's a 14-day quarantine before they can enter a classroom, Murray said. The other reason is the federal government has changed some of the visa requirements. That had a pretty significant impact. I believe it was around 50 of our teachers who we hoped to hire this year we were not able to bring to the United States because of the new visa requirements. So 120 vacancies minus the 50 that we actually hired who cannot come here, we would have been in much better shape than we are. That hurt us, Murray said. Fawcett said the COVID-19 pandemic caused a lot of people to stay put. Bonda said there have been less than 10 resignations because of the disease. Fawcett said those would be recent resignations, and early on some people didn't use that as a reason. She noted that Governor Greg Abbott has made it easier for people in other industries to become a teacher. The normal course is to go through an alternative certification program. The norm is that they have to pass a content test in order to be fully accepted into the program so that we can then hire them. The governor put out a waiver, and he waived the passing of that content test due to COVID because the testing centers were closed, Fawcett said. Teaching candidates could go through an alternative certification program and get a statement of eligibility without passing the test because the governor waived that test until October 1st. Those who are accepted into the alternative certification programs have to log 150 hours of prerequisites. Fawcett said they have those at every alternative certification program, of which there are 125 around the state. We work with four or five of them, Fawcett said. Every program has to abide by the same state rules. It's not just a pass. They have 150 clock hours they have to complete before the alternative certification program that will give us their statement of eligibility to hire them. They do have standards. The waiver from Abbott has streamlined the hiring process. They have been able to get into those programs, and we were able to hire them right now instead of waiting until they had taken their content test, Fawcett said. To put that in perspective, Last year, I started the year in secondary with 167 vacancies September 1st, but I hired 35 people by December because they were waiting on that kind of stuff. It's a timing issue right now. We've been able to put more people into the classroom more quickly than we have in the past due to the governor's waiver, she added. Bonda said ECISD is shoring up its teacher mentor program. Fawcett said the state requires every new teacher or induction teacher to have a mentor. We also have opportunity culture. That is also going to be a great system of support for them on top of what we've already doing for everyone else. We're excited about the opportunities that these teachers are going to get to really grow in their first year of educating our students, Bonda said. Both ECISD and Midland ISD have started implementing opportunity culture. According to information on the ECISD website, each opportunity culture school forms a design and implementation team of teachers and administrators that determines how to use multi-classroom leadership and other roles to reach more of their students with excellent teaching. The school-level design teams reallocate school budgets to permanently fund substantial pay supplements to those in opportunity culture roles, in contrast to temporary grant-funded programs. Fawcett said the initiative has helped reduce some vacancies at the elementary and secondary levels, as has moving long-term substitutes into full-time positions. That took a lot of communication from our department, reaching out to them to give them those avenues. We had been doing that for the last couple of years to motivate them to go ahead and get that teaching certification, Fawcett said. Executive Director of Talent Development, Ashley Osborne, said the district has 192 induction year teachers. Each induction year teacher is assigned a mentor who will help guide them and work with them throughout the year. That mentor is given training through our department, the Talent Development Department, so they can be effective as a mentor, because that's not necessarily something that comes naturally to everyone. We have a program that shows them or teaches them how to work with new teachers and different things to watch for, Osborne said. We train them at the beginning of the year and then in the fall as well. So far, we've had really great success. Osborne said a large part of the district's strategic plan was to invest in talent. That means the new teachers, but it really goes further than that. We're also investing in pipelines, so getting people into our system this year. Our focus for the talent development is teachers and leaders, but eventually we'll expand to all areas in our organization. So how do we get technologists? How do we get custodians into our system? How do we get bus drivers into our system? We'll expand that capacity to all areas of ECISD through pipelines, and then we're also working on pathways, Osborne said. The idea is to always have a cycle or pathway that people can take to advance their careers. And then we also, in our department, handle ODESA Pathways to Teaching, the educator preparation program, Osborne said. The ODESA Pathway to Teaching program is an alternative certification program for someone who already has a bachelor's degree, and it's specifically for ECISD. Not many districts have that. It's a rigorous program, but it affords people the ability to prepare, truly prepare, to go into a classroom and teach kids, Osborne added. Fawcett said, finally, after about 5 years, ECISD is starting to see the fruits of its labors. I think a lot of it boils down to having a clear vision in our district, a very well laid out and outlined strategic plan where all of these components that we have been working on fit within the direction that the district is going, Osborne said. If we're doing something that doesn't align with our strategic plan, then you have to kind of question, should there be some kind of strategic abandonment? The mission is to be the preferred employer in this area and the state. Everyone in our district, not just teachers, not just administrators, all the auxiliary positions and everything, you will get career support, not just job support, but career guidance and support that makes this a very desirable place to work, because that's our goal, Fawcett said. Osborne noted that there are other positions in the district than teachers and administrators. There are finance positions, administrative assistants, maintenance jobs, business, accounting, and technology, among others. We're really a diverse organization that I would venture to say that anyone could find a position that fits their skill sets or just what they love to do. We're willing to support them to grow into it, Osborne said. Illegal dumper busters, saddle up. County bolsters Environmental Enforcement Department, by Bob Campbell. Ector County is pouring money, manpower, and equipment into the illegal dumping crisis in precincts 1 and 4, and officials say the fiscal year starting October 1st will be pivotal in the struggle. The voters okayed a 1.25-cent sales tax in 2018 to help, and county commissioners have bought 5 four-wheel drive pickups and otherwise beefed up the Environmental Enforcement Department, headquartered in room 116 at the courthouse. Director Ricky George is budgeted to add 2 more full-time officers to work with him and fellow enforcement officers Jesse Garcia and Sean Callender. And he's looking for 1 or 2 part-time officers from other agencies to help patrol West Odessa, Gardendale, and South Ector County. The commissioners are buying a trash truck and dedicating 2 collectors from the Highways and Streets Department, because only 20 to 30% of illegal dumpers are caught and forced to clean up their messes, and what's left by the unapprehended violators remains where it lies. This is my home, and I hate to see it trashed, said George, a former Odessa policeman and county attorney's investigator. I was raised to be outdoors, and I take it personally when I see people polluting. It's a huge public health issue because these dumping sites become habitats for mice, rats, rattlesnakes, and mosquitoes. The county last year paid $347,000 for 5 Ford F-250 pickups, 2 of which are still parked, and it's trimming George's total budget in the general fund and sales tax fund from $985,465 to $678,842, which includes $100,000 for contract services to dispose of trash generated by the county government next year. George said he has been budgeted $10,000 for training. He said trucks costing an average of $69,400 each are the appropriate tools for our job in the oil field because we go off-road every day. The lighter half-ton pickups are designed for lighter work, he said. We don't have guns with 1 bullet in them because they're cheaper. George said the trucks were not paid for with tax revenues, but rather with the $1.5 million fine levied 3 years ago against Commercial Metals Company for violating the Clean Air Act with the accidental burning in West Odessa of 100,000 tires that boiled up smoke visible for 200 miles. When the bad guys pay for your equipment, you go ahead and get the right tools for the job, he said. Old tires must now be disposed of at State Rubber and Environmental Solutions near Denver City, 84 miles north of Odessa. With Precinct 1 Commissioner Eddie Shelton having advocated during the commissioner's recent budget hearings for the Environmental Enforcement Department to be absorbed by the sheriff's office, George said that would be a mistake because his department can operate more efficiently as it is, and that the sheriff's office already has enough responsibilities without taking on more. charged with a Class B misdemeanor for dumping 5 to 500 pounds, or a Class A for 500 to 1,000 pounds, offenders can be fined $2,000 and jailed for 6 months, or fined $4,000 and jailed for a year. But instead, they're usually allowed to clean up their messes and pay Republic Services charter landfill west of town on the south side of I-20, where the fees have just been lowered from the previous minimum of $70. A dumper must wear a hard hat and cover his load with a tarp and rent a hard hat and tarp if he doesn't have one. We average investigating 500 to 1,000 cases per year, and we remediate 8,000 tons of trash per year to the landfill, George said. The last thing we want to do is put somebody in jail for these crimes. We want to educate in lieu of charges, and most people would rather remediate their own mess than go to jail. It's out of our hands once they're prosecuted. They may get probation or get on payment plans to pay their fines. County Attorney Dusty Gallivan said offenders are usually not put on probation, but are fined from $500 to $1,000, with their fines then being dismissed if they can prove, either with photos or receipts from the landfill, that their trash has been cleaned up like it should have been in the first place. All we're trying to do is keep the county clean, Gallivan said, adding that he didn't know how many cases had been adjudicated. Precinct 4 Commissioner Armando Rodriguez said the court voted to buy a truck for two highways and streets crewmen to clean up illegal trash with, and to ask companies to donate the weekend use of dumpsters. We need to be sure everything is cleaned up as much as possible, and that we keep our rights of way clean, Rodriguez said. He said Highways and Streets Director Evans Kessie is short-staffed and may have trouble accommodating George at times, but we have no other choice. We've gotten the landfill to give Ector County residents a discount if they can prove their residency, the commissioner said, adding that the truck will be used for other purposes when it is not employed by his department. Kessie said the truck will otherwise be used to haul equipment and to move discarded couches and mattresses from the rights of way to roll-off containers at various locations. Precinct 1 Commissioner-elect Mike Gardner said contracting with a company to build a cheaper, more accessible landfill would be a good thing for the people out there in Precinct 1. I'm guessing it would be around FM 866, Gardner said. It doesn't seem like a bad deal because we've got to clean up the trash somehow. The policing side of it is covered pretty well, I think. We just have to get people to work on their places and be better on the cleanup side. Consulting often with Texas Illegal Dumping Resource Center Director John Ockles of Sherman, and sometimes speaking at conferences with him before the pandemic, George also had annually attended the Texas Emergency Management Conference in San Antonio and the Texas Police Association's Law Enforcement Leadership Conference in Bandera. Combining the general fund and sales tax fund, his budget provides $364,951 for salaries for the fiscal year ending September 30th. And for next year. Entrepreneurship classes slated. The Well Hand of Grace and Eureka are hosting virtual classes to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month from 5 to 8 p.m. September 21st through 25th. Registration is at tinyurl.com/y53GRKGH or bit.ly/2RHPBZR. The Latina Entrepreneur Academy is part of LULAC Women Empowerment, WEMP. Initiative, designed to train, motivate, and inspire women, especially those of Hispanic descent, to build their own businesses or enhance their existing ones. The Academy will provide a series of informational sessions on various topics aimed at preparing women entering the world of entrepreneurship. Through this initiative, it's hoped that the entrepreneurial spirit will be nurtured and support provided to driven Latinas who seek to launch and or expand business endeavors, a news release said. Local news roundup. Business grant applications. The City of Odessa is currently accepting applications for the Business Assistance Program, $2,500 to $10,000 grants for small businesses financially impacted by COVID-19. For applications or more information, call 335-4107 or visit www.odessa-tx.gov/COBAP. The $12,000 grant is being awarded to Midland College in order to contribute in raising the educational levels of Mexicans and Mexican Americans living in the community. The grant is awarded by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Mexico and the Institute for Mexicans Abroad through the Consulate of Mexico in Presidio. For more information about the scholarship opportunity, call Josefina Samaguay at 432-686-4903 or email samaguey@midland.edu. Nominate a nurse. The Permian Basin Great 25 Nurses is currently accepting applications for 2020 recognition. Deadline for submission is 11:59 p.m. October 31st. Nomination forms may be submitted by email to board@pbgrade25.com. For nomination forms or more information, visit www.pbgrade25.com. Start with trust. Celebrating Grandparents Day by Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. www.bbb.org. Grandparents' Day falls on September 13th, today, this year. As you spend the day appreciating the grandparents in your life, take time to remember how to keep them safe. Scammers often target older adults as they have financial savings, better credit, and spend more time at home. Some scams are more likely to target seniors than others. For example, emergency scams, also called the grandparent scam, involve scammers posing as grandchildren needing money to get out of a dire situation. Adults 63 and older are more likely to lose money to sweepstakes scams as well. They receive calls or letters claiming they've won the lottery or a sweepstakes, but they need to pay fees or taxes to claim the prize. Tech support scams also target seniors who may not be familiar with their computers. Scammers posing as tech support professionals call or send a pop-up saying there is a problem with the computer, but they can fix the problem for a fee. COVID-19 has also provided additional opportunities for older adults to fall victim to fraud. Scammers take advantage of the fear senior citizens may be feeling during the pandemic. They claim to have miracle cures or government funds to give. While there are several different scams that take advantage of seniors, there are precautions you can take to keep yourself and your loved ones safe from fraud. Use these tips from your Better Business Bureau to avoid falling victim to scams. Research before acting. Whether a grandchild calls for help or you've received a prize notification, step back before sending money. You can call relatives, customer support, or the lottery company to check the facts. Scammers often use high-pressure tactics to push targets to act quickly, so refrain from immediate action, no matter how drastic the story may be. Ignore unsolicited calls. If you don't recognize a phone number, let it go to voicemail. A legitimate caller will leave a message if they need to get in touch with you. You should also be alert to caller ID. Caller ID can be spoofed. So if you're receiving an unusual call from a number that seems legitimate, hang up. Don't send money to strangers. Never send money, especially over wire transfer or gift cards, to someone you don't know personally. Scammers may call posing as government employees, tech support, or lottery companies to ask you for money. Refrain from paying, especially if you are being threatened. If a grandchild calls to ask for money, be sure that's who you are talking to. Ask specific questions and follow up with their parents or other relatives if you are still unsure. Happy Grandparents' Day from your Better Business Bureau.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, September 14th, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD Board Could Select an Interim Superintendent, by Stuart Doreen. Should the Midland ISD Board decide on an interim superintendent at its special meeting Monday, it will be a person that stays with the district for the balance of the school year. That is the expectation of Board President Rick Davis, who also stated this weekend that the board is not looking, quote, for merely a caretaker, but someone who will move us forward this year, much like Rod Schroeder did for the 2016-17 school year, unquote. The 5:30 p.m. virtual meeting will include a public comment period, the board going into executive session, and then possibly the selection of an interim superintendent. Currently, Chief Financial Officer Daryl Dodds is the district acting superintendent, having been selected on August 31st. During that same meeting, district leaders stated they still plan to hire an interim superintendent, which they described as a non-existing staff person, a third party that you ask to come in and act as superintendent until such time as you find your permanent superintendent replacement. Should trustees select an interim superintendent, it would be the district's second in 4 years. In 2016, that board selected Schroeder, a former superintendent at Amarillo ISD, to be the interim superintendent after Ryder Warren left Midland ISD for a district in the Metroplex. Schroeder was with the district for a full academic year, allowing the district to avoid quick superintendent search. He was generally well received within the community and made academics the focus of his short time in Midland. Although Mr. Schroeder is not available this time, we are interested in finding an academic leader like him who will focus on teaching and learning, Davis stated this weekend in an email to the Reporter Telegram. Davis previously referenced Schroeder's time in a leadership position with the district in an August opinion article in the Reporter Telegram. In the fall of 2017, Midland ISD received exciting news from the Texas Education Agency. The number of MISD improvement required campuses had been reduced from 9 to 4 in a single school year, even though TEA's criteria to be a non-IR campus had actually been increased from the previous year, Davis wrote. We believed such dramatic improvement in 1 year had much to do with the leadership of our then interim superintendent, Rod Schroeder. On August 31st, the board voted to put Superintendent Orlando Riddick on administrative leave. At a prior meeting, the board set in place the termination process for MISD's current superintendent. Both sides are still trying to find a mutually agreeable solution, Davis wrote. But in the event such efforts fail, he has a few days to decide whether to accept or contest the board's decision to provide notice to terminate his employment. This article is entitled Rainey to Challenge for Midland College's Place 7 Seat by Stuart Doreen. No one has to tell R. Sean Rainey about the importance of education and the difference it can make in the trajectory in a person's life. Rainey, who is running for the Place 7 seat on the Midland College Board, used education to open a pathway into Rice University and then the Texas Tech University School of Law. Today, he is a shareholder with Cotton Bledsoe Tye & Dawson. I had the opportunity, because of the hard work of people before me, to graduate from college and go to law school, Rainey said. Education opens pathways. Rainey is one of three people on the ballot of Midland College Place 7. The others are Will Green and Adrian Carrasco. Midland College's seats are at-large positions, so a person can run for any seat, and all eligible voters within the college district vote on each place. The election will take place November 3rd. Rainey talked about challenging a person who has been on the board for 24 years, or longer than many students have been alive. He said in the campaign sprint to Election Day that he plans to remind voters that the needs today are different than they were even 20 years ago. He said from an input standpoint, it is time to reinvigorate the board with fresh information, and that community input will tell the board if Midland College is meeting the needs from a community standpoint and business standpoint. Rainey's experience includes service on boards with different organizations. He states he is presently the Vice Chair for Community Development for the Midland Chamber of Commerce. He was named Volunteer of the Year this month at the Chamber's annual meeting. He also states he has served as an adjunct professor in the paralegal/legal studies program at Midland College, teaching courses in wills and trusts and civil litigation. He also serves as a member of the advisory committee for the annual estate planning seminar co-hosted by the Midland College Foundation and Midland Memorial Foundation. As Midland College enters its next 50 years as an institution, the pace of change in education and industry continues to quicken. Now is the time for revitalized vision and voice on the board as Midland College strives for even greater future success, Rainey stated. Rainey said technological learning for every student will be important as Midland College attempts to prepare every student for life after school. To be cutting edge is how he described it. Being innovative in technology is a great way for workforce to be prepared for that first day in the office, Rainey said. Rainey, on his campaign bio, reported that Bruce Peeler, local businessman and son of longtime Midland College trustee Ken Peeler, is his campaign treasurer. Midland College is one of the greatest community resources we have in Midland, Rainey stated. No other institution has a more direct connection to the economic livelihood of the community than MC. Midland College must be integrally connected with the community while simultaneously innovating to an ever-changing student to provide the most skilled and knowledgeable workforce available for our region.
Doctors say, get your flu shot. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Local doctors advise people to get their immunizations and other vaccines, even though COVID-19 is still out there. Dr. Eileen Sheridan Shaib, associate professor with Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, was born in the 1950s and is very pro-vaccine. She always tells patients when they come in not believing in a vaccine that they're talking to a pediatrician who had some of those childhood diseases and has seen some of them in action. Quote, "We can't be cavalier with vaccinations, even in the time of COVID," Sheridan Shaib said. Measles, in her view, is the worst of the ailments. Quote, "It's a terrible disease. I remember the shutters in the house being closed to light. It hurt so bad. My parents, they couldn't graduate across the stage because of polio. It was such a big epidemic, and they were first in line when the vaccine came out in 1954. So we don't want to see the recurrence of all these diseases right now just because we're not getting vaccinated. That's what worries me continuously about our people who don't believe in vaccines," she said. Sheridan Shaib says German measles, also known as rubella, can cause deafness or heart disease. Quote, "I just think if we can prevent so many things, why don't we prevent it? It's like if you have strep throat and you can take penicillin, don't want to take the penicillin so you're not sick and cause possible heart problems? It's like a no-brainer. I just think prevention is the only way to go," she said. As for why some people are anti-vaccination, Sheridan Shaib says she doesn't really know. Quote, "They're worried about all the things they think that are in the vaccine," she said. "Some people think there is aluminum in a vaccine, and Sheridan Shaib always tells them she's vaccinated her own children." Quote, "How many of us have taken aluminum by accident if you ate something off a grill? We live in a world with a lot of preservatives in what we eat. It's not just in vaccines, so I really say to the public, what's more important, I think, is protecting your child from these diseases." End quote. Dr. Rohith Saravanan, chief medical officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center, said immunizations are one of the few things that are known to help control disease processes. Quote, "Flu vaccine, for example, has been around for several years. It's really helped decrease the burden of disease in our community for the population as well as for the healthcare system because flu does cause other complications. It's the complications from the flu that end up costing people's lives sometimes. So if there is a vaccination that can keep people from bearing that disease burden, we should definitely support it," Saravanan said. Continuing the quote, "There are different vaccinations, yearly flu vaccine, meningitis, polio, and others when we were kids growing up, that prevent people from getting those diseases," he said. This will be the first flu season with COVID in the mix, but Saravanan says people should still get the flu shot. Quote, "As long as we know enough about vaccines that are out there for years protecting us against diseases, we should continue to take those independent of whether coronavirus is around," he said. Saravanan says flu shots do not make you get the flu. He noted that getting a flu shot will stop you from spreading it to others, and that's what vaccines do. Quote, "What you're feeling is the body's reaction to getting the inactivated virus. You want the body to react to getting the inactivated virus because that's when antibodies are formed. That's what provides you with the protection for later on when you're exposed to the active virus. The flu shot doesn't cause the flu. The flu shot causes a flu-like reaction in the body. For some people, it's more than others, but that's an expected reaction, so you can develop antibodies to fight the flu," Saravanan said. Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, September 14th. Odessa City Council at Large, Mayor Running for City Council. The story was written by Michael Merlo. Mayor David Turner, age 53, said that he's running for the at-large council seat because he's enjoyed serving on council and wants to follow through with some work halted by the pandemic. Quote, "I look forward to handing the gavel to somebody else and just being able to serve," Turner said in a phone interview. Turner, who has termed out as mayor, spoke on the infrastructure plans that would better help the city prepare for growth that slowed since COVID-19 entered the Permian. Quote, "We have issues where water lines are old and breaking down, and we've been putting together the plan, a long range of plans to be able to address that, and I'd just like to see that going down the road," Turner said, adding that the plans include water, sewer, and roads. Quote, "We're expanding our economics. We're going into downtown. We've been expanding. We've been able to do things like the Pioneer Water deal, where we actually sold our toilet water to be able to pay for some of the utility work that needs to be done," end quote. Pioneer Natural Resources signed an 11-year, $117 million deal with the city in 2016 to use wastewater for oil field use. Turner also said he's helped update the city's use of newer technology for city employees to be more efficient. Quote, "We've been running out of ambulances on a weekly basis. The new fire station, Station 9, will be built because running out of ambulances isn't something we need to be doing. We need to be taking care of our citizens," end quote. Turner said that he's proud of the budget plans with sewer and water lines and hopes to address the issues quickly. Quote, None of that stuff is cheap. It's all expensive, and we need to be able to prepare for the future with that, but we also need to look at our existing sewer line. Right now, we have one that's at capacity. We have to be able to address that now because they're having to restrict the flow to be able to get all of the sewage to the plant. Luckily, we have the Pioneer money, he said, adding that it will eventually run out and the city needs to be prepared for other expenses. Quote, why are we having to increase the amount for sewer and water simply because we have to put that money into the system to be able to replace 50-year-old water lines, 50-year-old sewer lines, end quote. Turner spoke on tax rates saying that, quote, unfortunately, people's valuations go up, and that's from the appraisal district, but we're keeping them at the same rate, end quote. With the city sticking to an effective no-new-revenue tax rate at 47 cents, there will be added amounts from higher appraisals and new property. Most will pay more in taxes due to the higher taxes. Turner added that he's also proud of the water supply in Odessa. Quote, we have 40 years of water supply. When I came in, we were rationing water. We were using water restrictions. We've gotten that taken care of, and if the lakes don't dry, we have plenty of water going forward. End quote. Texas was in one of the worst droughts in decades in 2011 that cost Texas agriculture producers $7.6 billion, Reuters detailed in a 2012 article. Turner talked about the Odessa Development Corporation's Permian Fuels America campaign and said that, quote, when the Saudis came in and dumped the cheap oil and got the contract with gas suppliers in the Gulf Coast, we need to be able to say, hey, you can't come in and dump cheap oil. We can produce it here. We need to have someone to fight for that, he said, adding that the campaign is for Washington, D.C., as well as Austin, to recognize the importance of the Permian Basin and the role that oil and gas plays for the state and country. Turner addressed criticism that he's gotten, saying, I want to continue to serve, and if they like the job I've done, then I welcome their vote, and I would love to just be a council member. We have a great team at City Hall, and we have a great council, end quote. Turner added that he's been responsive via email and phone to members of the community and said that his Facebook has been a useful tool to disperse information regarding COVID-19 updates in Odessa. He said that council has done well being transparent, but there is always room to improve on informing the public, whether that be through social media or other technology. In January, the Odessa American filed a lawsuit against the city of Odessa to force the city to release public crime records in a timely manner and in accordance with state law. Turner responded to criticism that he didn't show up to the Black Lives Matter protests by saying he was out of town and said that he's been to plenty of other events. Turner also spoke on the city mask mandate meeting earlier in the year, where council voted the mandate down in a 5-1 vote, with only District 5 Mary Willis voting for it. Quote, part of why you have those meetings is because you want to hear the public, and that was very hotly contested both pro and con, and just listening to the people is our job, he said, adding that it was evident in that meeting that a city mask mandate would not pass, and, quote, we knew that the governor was probably going to implement it, end quote. The Odessa American publishes profiles on all opposed candidates running for local elected positions. As part of the profiles, the OA looks into the backgrounds of candidates.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. HRT and duration of hot flashes. Dear Dr. Roach, if women are prescribed a hormone replacement for hot flashes, do the hot flashes return once the medicine is discontinued? If you take hormone replacement therapy, HRT, are you just delaying the symptoms for a while and will have to deal with hot flashes either way? CH. Answer. Hot flashes are a common symptom when women go into menopause. 60 to 80% of women will experience them. About half of women will stop having hot flashes after about 5 years. The remainder will have a longer duration. A third of women will still experience them after 10 years, and in about 10%, they continue for 20 or more years after menopause. The most effective treatment is hormone replacement therapy, specifically estrogen. But estrogen should not be given without a progestin in women who have a uterus, i.e. those who have not had a hysterectomy. HRT neither shortens nor lengthens the duration of symptoms. If a woman was destined to have hot flashes for 7 years and takes HRT for 5 years with relief, she will still have 2 more years of hot flashes. Although women are generally not treated with HRT for longer than 5 years, some choose to continue treatment longer, even knowing that HRT increases risk of blood clotting and may increase risk of breast cancer and heart disease. The degree of risk is debated and likely depends on many factors.
Dear Abby, surprise changes in plans strain women's friendship. Dear Abby, I have a serious issue with my best girlfriend. We make plans together, adult plans, and then at the last minute, her kids drop the young grandkids off for her to babysit, curtailing any plans we have together. The past few times, we have changed our plans to a kids' activity. I have an extremely busy client load, and I'm losing income by accommodating my friend's time constraints, which revolve around making her husband's lunch and dinner. Although I'm single now, I'm a widow, I do understand why she has her priorities. If her grandkids are there when we have plans, she asks me to pick them up fast food on the way over, on my dime. I have kids and grandkids myself, and they are important to me. I'm tired of being held hostage by her adult children, who I feel are using her and taking advantage of the drop-in daycare with Nana. How can I talk to her about our time being important too? I have intentionally not made plans with my grandkids if she and I have plans, and I would love some reciprocity. Throne under the bus. Dear Throne, if this happened occasionally, I would advise you to cut your friend some slack. However, because this happens often, tell her your dates with her are carefully scheduled, and when she changes them at the last minute, it has a negative impact on you economically. Point out that when you make dates with her, you let your children know they will have to arrange for another babysitter unless it is an emergency. And if the last-minute changes continue, see her less often and arrange to socialize with other friends who appreciate your situation. Dear Abby, I'm about to be 22. I have been talking to a man around my age for almost 6 months now. He tells me how special I am and how much I mean to him, but says he isn't ready for a relationship. We go on dates and do not have relations with other people. He says putting a title on us will give him accountability he doesn't want. He claims to be over his ex, but he often mentions her. I know he was still conversing with her when we first started talking, but he lied about it. I'm not rushing a relationship because I know it takes time to get to know someone, but I want to know if he can see a future with me, and that is a question he will not answer. I have attachment issues and don't want to let him go, but I can't help but feel as if I'm not good enough for him, which he says is not the case. Should I move on or wait and see what the future holds? Impatient in Illinois. Dear Impatient, stop allowing your insecurity issues affect your common sense. You are both young, and your relationship has been going on for only 6 months. He has been honest by admitting he isn't ready for a relationship or the titles that go with one. He may not answer your questions about a future because he doesn't know the answer, so stop pushing him. He may be more focused on work at this point than romance, and frankly, so should you be. If nothing has changed in another 6 months, consider dating others then. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Virgo and a moon in Leo. Happy birthday for Monday, September 14, 2020. Perceptive, articulate, and powerful, you succeed this year by being your most efficient self. Loose ends need tying up, and you begin a new business partnership that is very profitable. If single, you meet someone in November who changes your world. If attached, you're devoted to your partner, who likewise idolizes you. Watch your impatience and criticism, and you're guaranteed a lifetime of happiness. Scorpio knows what you're thinking. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. It's your power day, your day to play it your way. So focus on what you want. You attract financial success if you open your mind to a new approach. You're playing with power, so be careful not to hurt others. Tonight, take a chance. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. You have an emotional reaction to an event taking place in your home. You're dealing with the foundations of who you are and who you are becoming. You could be dealing with parents now or working on a home improvement project. Tonight, relax. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. A change of scenery would do you good today. You might be involved in a benefit. You see two sides of an issue. You're feeling creative and express yourself in writing. A short trip works to your benefit. Tonight, catch up on emails. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Your organizational skills are highlighted. Hard work is called for now to complete a project. Stay focused and resist any inclinations to wander off to other tasks. Be methodical and thorough. Tonight, romance takes a back seat for now. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. You're at the top of your energy cycle today. You get a fresh start. Be independent and avoid negative people. Surround yourself with creative and adventurous ones. Trust your hunches, and don't be afraid to turn in a new direction. Tonight, start something new. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. It's best to work behind the scenes today and avoid any conflicts and confrontations, especially with women. Keep your feelings hidden. Unconscious attitudes can be difficult. Clear up a situation at home that has lingered for too long. Tonight, don't put off the situation. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. You have deeper contact with friends today. You join a group of like-minded individuals. Focus on your wishes and dreams. Examine your overall goals. Those goals should be an expression of who you are. Tonight, emphasize quality over quantity. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. You benefit most today as a result of social contacts. Cooperation, especially with partners, is highlighted. Help comes through friends, loved ones, especially someone you work closely with, or a spouse. Don't rush or show resentment. Let things develop. Tonight, no making waves. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Today you're interested in pursuing long-distance travel or education. You enjoy diving into a subject to gain knowledge, especially if it's related to philosophy, the arts, or belief systems. You're intuitive and in touch with your feelings. Tonight, appreciating the finer things in life. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. New opportunities come your way that could involve a partner. Everything is enhanced today, including your psychic abilities. Sex, power, settlements, and inheritances play a role. It's the beginning or end of something. Tonight, offer support where it's needed. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Your focus turns to relationships, business, and personal interactions. You could be looking for a new partnership. Women play a prominent role. A legal matter could come to a head now. You comprehend the nuances of a particular situation. Tonight, go with the flow. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Clear your desk for the new cycle that is beginning tomorrow. Accept what comes your way. Use the day for reflection, expansion, and concluding projects. Don't start anything new today. Attend to details and minutiae. Tonight, get a good and early night's sleep. Born today, nurse Margaret Sanger, 1879, actress Melissa Leo, 1960, singer Amy Winehouse, 1983.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.